It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
But the Krell forgot one thing, it. Monsters, John. Monsters from the id.
There you go again, always blaming me for everything.
Go switch off!
Exterminate!
It's a trap!
This looks extraordinarily bad.
Commencing countdown T minus 5, 4, 3. Two, one.
Welcome to the Skiffy and Fanny Show, episode 2.
Warning, watching Twilight may suck all the life out of you, and not in a cool, I'm going to be a sparkly vampire sort of way.
That's really your tagline?
Yes, that's my tagline.
I hate you. If you can't tell already, we're watching Twilight, and it's torture cinema, and
it
you guys picked
cinema.
This piece of crap.
You guys are asswads.
Why didn't you pick Jumper?
Because it's really not that bad.
I just want them to pick Jumper.
It wasn't
Jumper.
Really torturous. Now would it?
I just them to pick it. Please.
By the way, that's Sean, and I'm Jen.
Yes.
And this is the Skiffy and Fanty Show. Torture cinema, Twilight.
The first torture cinema of 2012, by the way.
Yes, you guys are starting the year off right, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, we should start by saying what we're drinking.
I am drinking mojitos.
What's in a mojito?
Rum and mojito mix.
That's real specific.
Well, technically, mojito mix is like a lime and mint.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And quite delicious with rum, obviously.
Well, I'm drinking Cruzan vanilla rum with Coke. Well, off-brand Coke, but whatever.
Rum and Coke. Very nice.
Vanilla rum and Coke.
Mmm, delicious.
So it tastes really good. Although this stuff only has 20% alcohol, and I've drank half the bottle already. Since we started recording today, all the stuff.
That's not healthy.
No, but I'm going to drink a lot more while we're on this.
Yeah, I don't recommend that to our listeners.
Oh, it's gonna be so much fun.
You guys okay. Are turning Sean into an alcoholic. I hope you like yourselves.
I only drink for this show.
Thank goodness for that.
I don't have a problem.
Just saying. All right, would you like to give the recap of Twilight?
Oh god, how do you recap this movie? It's every Lifetime movie but with vampires.
Only worse.
I guess. I mean...
Yeah, no, you haven't watched a lot of Lifetime movies. This one's actually worse than Lifetime movies.
Okay, I'll give you that. But point is, it's Lifetime meets vampires.
Simpering girl meets boy. Boy is a vampire that sparkles. The end.
And she's obsessed, and it's like obsession with an abusive lover kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, basic. Yeah, I mean, that's you guys all know the premise. We don't have to explain this.
No, we don't really.
Bella moves to the Northwest, and she meets a creepy guy who happens to be a vampire and sparkles in the sun, and they, like, supposedly fall in love, and they're really creepy, and then bad guys come and try to eat her, and he fights them.
Yeah, that about sums it up.
That's it. Like, that's the whole damn movie. The sad truth basically. That it is the father figure for the vampires is the only cool character in the whole book.
Right?
For the whole movie, we haven't read the book. No, don't recommend it. Don't recommend the book.
Don't. That's horrible.
Oh my god. They're going to do it. Horrible. We're going to have to read it now.
No. No, we're not. I've already read it once.
Okay. So anyway, so we should get through our likes and dislikes, our 5x5s.
Do we have to?
Yeah. I haven't called them the 5x5s in a while, by the way.
That's interesting, but they are our 5x5s.
They are?
Are we starting with our likes
Aliens
or dislikes?
Aliens reference. Let's start with our likes and end on dislikes this time.
All right.
So, I'm going to go with my first like.
Okay.
Which is the villains. They're creepy.
They're not even that creepy.
But they were suitable villains. I was like,
they're acceptable.
The guy with the ponytail, James, was like, I totally believe you.
Yeah, I didn't. I did not buy him as a villain even once. Oh. The only one that I buy as a villain is Victoria.
But she's like not even in it. He was creepy,
I know.
Though. He's
and
like sniffing.
Somehow more. Well, yeah, but it's just, I don't know. It was
and the
weird.
Ending when he's got the camera and he's like videotaping her while he's going to kill her.
I suppose.
I was kind of creeped out. Like, he's, Although the one black villain, which is ironic.
Ron,
this is the first. No, wait, hold on. This is the first movie where the black guy has not been a bad guy.
He was a bad guy who's not really that bad, and he turns out being good. And I think he actually, in the books, goes on to join a group of vegetarian vampires. So,
right, and it was really weird. He was like, anyway. "This is the
first
time."
And it's really sad that I know that.
Yeah, it's really sad. But in any case, I just kind of like the villains. I mean, I kind of wanted to see what Victoria would do, but I'm assuming that's another book.
That is in another book. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's kind of lame. She should have.
Which I have not read because I only read the first one.
Well. Shut up. Stop talking about the book.
Thank the gods.
So anyway, so what's your first like?
The location.
That's actually... Is that in one of mine?
In my opinion, that was actually the only really good thing about this entire film.
Well,
I
wrote
have five likes, but the only one I actually liked of the five was the location.
Well,
scenery is gorgeous.
That's actually one of my likes, but I said it differently. Shall I read what I wrote?
Oh, please do.
Okay. As I've said numerous times before in other movies of such caliber, trees and grass are well represented here. The forestry union did a good job negotiating contracts.
That they did. That they did. I was actually just saying to my husband earlier today that we have regularly cited the trees and grass as some of our favorite portions of films.
And in fact, in this
I.e. the Wicker Man.
It's
gorgeous.
Legitimate this time. Well, the Wicker Man was.
It was.
Yeah. And this time it was pretty legitimate. Like,
totally
the
legitimate.
Trees and the grass
Pacific
really
Northwest.
Pretty.
Yeah, gorgeous. Pacific Northwest is beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I would happily live there if I could.
It's beautiful. It rains all the time, though.
Yeah. It was filmed near Portland, and it's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Although it's not set near Portland. Where is Fort?
No, it's actually set on the Olympic Peninsula, but it is filmed in Portland. Why they didn't just set it in freaking the Olympic Peninsula, which is one of the most gorgeous places on Earth, I have no I don't know. But
there are no roads. Have you ever been to the Olympic Peninsula? Most of it is national forest.
There's one road that goes around it, and it's beautiful. And
mm-hmm.
I'm jealous.
A lot of chipmunks, by the way. And the rainforest up there, like a shit ton of chipmunks. They're like something.
The chipmunk union, not well represented for this film.
No, but they don't really move past the river,
the
Columbia.
The deer union, though, very nicely done.
Don't say anything.
Sorry. All right.
You do need to give me another like, though, because I've now gone.
Oh, okay. My second like is slightly related to your first like. You liked the villains. I only liked their outfits.
I don't even remember.
Specifically, Victoria's jacket. Stunning.
Is it like a fur jacket or something?
It's like a white fur fluffy thing. Gorgeous.
You think
she's
getting
that out
of
a
person?
Jacket, a giant white fur jacket out of a person? That is one hairy Eskimo.
She's been saving the scalps for a while.
No, I'm pretty sure it was a polar bear, but, sorry, polar bears, but Victoria doesn't like you.
Yeah.
No, Laurent's outfit is decent, too. He's the only vampire that sticks to, his original, era.
You mean the black guy?
Yeah, the black guy. He's
okay.
Laurent, he's 300 years old, and presumably was a,
Caribbean or something.
You know, actually, he sticks to the era, but he doesn't really stick to what Africans would have been dressed like 300 years ago, because unless he was a French serving man.
Well, 300 years ago, he would have been if he was in the Caribbean.
Or France.
Well, he's got a Caribbean accent.
No, he doesn't. Not really.
It's a Creole accent.
Really?
It sounded Creole to me.
It sounded French to me, which is as close to Creole as you could possibly get. But
that's offensive. We've been drinking. Our judgment's impaired.
How is that offensive? I don't even understand. Whatever. Those
Creoles
are my two
would be very offended. Likes. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Great. So let me move on to dislikes.
Two dislikes. All okay. Right. You go first.
Well, my first dislike is math fail. Okay, so they go to this town, and it's got, like, it's called Forks or whatever, and it's got, like, 313 people in it, right?
Uh-huh.
And yet somehow they have enough teenagers in this town to attend a full high school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, a high school is in, like, you know, several hundred people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but, like, that only makes sense for a town that's maybe got 3,000 people, not 300.
Presumably, Forks is the only high school within a 300-mile radius.
So that they ferry them all in from, like, every town in the area?
Yes.
That's a lot of work.
That is a lot of work. But that's the only way that they could possibly have that many students at the Forks High School.
I wouldn't be surprised if I've actually been to Forks.
If you have driven around the entire Olympic Peninsula, you have driven through Forks.
Maybe I've been there. I don't remember.
I haven't gone to the western side, which is where Forks is. I've only been on the eastern half of the Olympic Peninsula, so.
Point is I didn't really understand where all the teenagers were coming from.
I didn't either, but technically the junior class was reasonably. Although, no, because they actually at one point say that Edward can't switch classes because all the classes are full.
Right! So where are they getting all the teenagers from? And none of the teenagers in the movie ever mention that they're from another town. They all hang out in Forks.
Yeah, they're all, yeah.
And
yeah.
There's nothing in Forks. It's like three houses and a cafe.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I really didn't get it. I was really annoyed by that. Yeah. All right, so what's your first dislike?
I'm going to go with the utter lack of anything resembling emotion. This is the most... Okay, I mean, I get that there's vampires in the movie, so therefore, like, the vampires, they're not very emotional. But the people aren't particularly emotional either. I mean, like, the most emotion you get about the entire film is when she slams out of the house to leave and insults her father. And he can't muster more than a...
All right.
Right,
that's basically
exactly.
It.
I mean, well, like, one of his good friends dies, and he just kind of goes, shrugs, and...
Like, what is...
And, and his daughter, like, you know, almost dies, and he gets a little bit pissed off. But really, the dad was the only one that showed any sort of emotion, because
No, that's not true. Some of the secondary characters, the teenagers, showed some emotion.
The teenagers, like, they seem like teenagers.
You know, like the kid that almost kills her with his car, and Edward, like, saves her.
Oh, yeah, he felt bad.
Yeah, he felt really bad. He kept apologizing. Yeah.
The only one who shows any emotion in the rest of the movie.
Yeah, I would agree. Like, yeah. Edward has no emotion, but he's a vampire, so he's had his soul taken out.
Mm-hmm.
Bella is an empty husk, so
she
has no emotion. Mother seems only obsessed with finding out who she's banging, her daughter, which is creepy.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a good movie for family relations.
No, not at all.
Really weird.
Which is odd because it's also doing other things. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Sure,
but
sure.
Anyway, second dislike.
Well, it's kind of related to yours, which is really the acting in this movie is awful.
That's horrible.
There are the entire torturous scenes where it's like dialogue between Bella and Edward, where it's I don't even know how to describe it. It is the most. It's bad dialogue, and then they just, like, stutter the lines for, like, 20 minutes. And it's, like, three lines that they spend 20 minutes saying.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually my second dislike, is Edward / Robert Patterson and Bella / Kirsten Stewart. Not only do I dislike the characters a lot,
yeah,
but the actors portraying them, I've never liked them. Ever. Granted, I'm not sure where else I've seen Kristen Stewart. Supposedly she's good in other movies, but I've never seen her being good anywhere. Robert Patterson wasn't even good in Harry Potter, so I don't know why people are like, oh, he's so gorgeous! Ah! I don't get it. These are the two most wooden actors. There's a reason that my first dislike was the utter dislike of anything resembling emotion. The two main characters can't even muster enough emotion to seem like they're in love.
No!
Which is kind of what this whole film revolves around, is these two people being in love. And yet they can't even muster the passion to, like, the only passionate scene at all between them is kind of, sort of, their kiss. But even that is like, eh.
It's not even.
And then when
he
they kiss, and then he pulls himself away, like, oh, I can't control himself.
He doesn't pull himself away. He throws himself away.
Right.
Like, on the other
even
side of the room.
Even that, like, his response to the kiss is, I guess I'm stronger than I thought.
And creepy. It's creepy.
Deadpan. I guess I'm stronger than I thought.
There's
he
no
sounds
direction.
Like a robot. There's nothing. Nothing. Yeah.
There's nothing. It's bad. The acting is just freaking awful.
Here's the thing, is that some of the other acting is fine. It's really...
Just
but
those
when,
two. Yeah.
When you're trying to base a film and a relationship on two people, you really need actors that can actually, I don't know, pretend. They don't even have to act that much. I mean... Like, he's a hot guy. She's a hot chick. They cannot act and still muster a slightly more emotion. I can't even imagine what their actual, like, live relationship is like. It's got to be one of the most boring relationships ever.
Hey, would you like to see my music collection?
I think that's what's so hilarious about this, is that supposedly these two people fell in love on the set of Twilight and are now and have been dating since then.
I think they broke up.
Maybe
and it's perhaps because they're both bored.
They both realize, oh my god,
he's boring. Oh my
he's
god,
boring.
She's boring.
She's boring. Why are we? What is the point of this? Yeah, and that's what they capture in this film. Boring.
Good.
Yeah. So there, I think I ranted about that enough.
Did you have a second dislike somewhere? Did we already go through it?
That was my second dislike.
Okay, good. So we can move on to a like.
I mean, granted, it was related to my first like, but a dislike, but yes.
Okay. Well, let's go to the next one.
Okay, next dislike.
My like, actually.
Next like? No, we're on dislikes.
No, huh?
We did two dislikes, and then we did two likes. Now we're on a dislike.
No, we're on a like, because we started with likes.
No, we started with...
No, we started with likes, like. You dumbass. You're...
Sorry. Okay, go ahead. Like.
The soundtrack. I mean, it's kind of overly dramatic. But for a film as shitty as this, the soundtrack didn't have a good reason to be as good as it was, so I kind of liked it.
It was overly dramatic, and therefore the reason that I did not like the soundtrack.
Oh, okay. Well,
it just made me want to shoot myself.
Well,
especially that piano scene.
When they're playing on the piano for no reason? Yeah.
Well, which was hilarious, because it's like this really nice piano music, and they're trying to show that Edward Cullen / Robert Patterson is actually playing the song.
Yep.
It was like... It relates to his entire character, really, that whole wooden aspect. He, like, is thumping on the keys.
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird. But I kind of like that. Like, it gave me something to distract me.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. There were times where I just kind of switched my screen.
Yeah, exactly.
So I didn't actually have to watch the movie too much.
Yeah. I have to pee.
Oh, my God. Seriously? Hold it! My next like is totally unrelated to your last like, because liking the soundtrack is a cop-out.
Fuck you.
Totally. Just kidding. I'm actually going to go with... I'm going with Bella's dad.
I spilled water on myself.
You're a dork. So, the reason I like Bella's dad is because of all the characters, he portrays the most emotion. Except for that one kid who almost hits Bella. Bella's dad.
Oh.
He's sweet and endearing, and
he
looks
a terrible father.
Bored all the time. Well, he tries his best in a distant father sort of way.
Okay.
And plus he always looks bored, which is very important for this movie because, you know, everybody should look bored.
Boring movie.
And And he's the only one that manages to.
It could be 30 time. Minutes long and it would have got the same plot out of the way.
Right? Totally. Less scenery, more action.
Yeah, I thought the whole bit about, like...
The pacing in this film is terrible.
Her researching vampires, like, I thought that was completely unnecessary.
Totally. Unnecessary, yes. But I think it might be in the book or something. Who knows?
Whatever. They could cut it out.
And what cracks me up is that she realizes that they're vampires, but doesn't actually get that the Quaaludes are werewolves. That part is hilarious.
Well, we'll get to that.
Like, in the book. Whatever. Anyways, that's my like. I like Bella's dad. He's kind of cool.
You call me on the soundtrack for a cop-out.
Yeah,
your like is a kind of cool like.
Well, that's all you can really get out of this movie.
Okay. Well, anyway, can we go to dislikes?
Right. Yeah, next dislike.
I'm getting all of my easy ones out of the way, just so you know. Okay. Taylor Hutner's hair.
Taylor Hutner's hair.
Like, it looked completely ridiculous in long hair.
Well, he looks slightly ridiculous in long hair. B, I think he really just looks ridiculous because it's a freaking wig.
It's an obvious wig.
And a really obvious wig, exactly.
It was just so ridiculous. He does that, like, dumbfounded look he always does, and it just makes him look ridiculous in that hair.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to be...
And I'm actually on Team Jacob, if I'm on any team.
Oh, my God. Well, I am too. Because...
Of either team you're going to be on, are you really going to be on abusive, you know, jackass Edward, or eventually abusive but really just lovesick puppy?
Well, I haven't read past this. Unintended. Or seen past this, so I don't know if Jacob is actually abusive, but he seems like a nice cat.
He gets a little bit weird when he turns into a werewolf, but yeah, that's not his fault. He's just turning into a werewolf, who are presumably bloodthirsty killers as well. So.
But anyway. He's a sweet guy before, you know?
All right, so my dislike?
Okay, yeah.
The reaffirmation of male-female paradigm dominating submissive.
Patriarchy?
Patriarchy. I can't actually talk. But...
You just said all of that, and you could have just said patriarchy.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, that thing.
Okay, well, that's actually one of my dislikes. The fact
pisses me off!
This movie represents everything that is evil for women.
It really does. I mean, it's funny because I've read some, blog posts by women who are like, I'm a feminist and I don't get what everybody's problem is. And you're like, dude, you're not a freaking feminist. That's what the problem is. You cannot be even anything remotely resembling a feminist and like this movie and like what it represents.
For women.
I'm sorry. Yeah. And I tend to get really girly about things. I mean, really girly. I like romantic movies. I like, pink occasionally. Not very often, but I do occasionally like pink. However, when you have a character who literally is nothing, she is nothing beyond a figurehead of what is wrong with a patriarchal system.
Yeah.
She has no interest at all.
She has no agency at all. None. She's empty.
None.
She's literally an empty shell. One of the romantic scenes in the movie is him telling her that there's nothing in her head.
Exactly. I'm sorry. You can't actually go with that as people will be like, well, that's because he can't read her. No. It's not because he can't actually read her, because there's never any explanation for that except maybe possibly later in the books. But if you totally ignore the later books and just take this as a standalone thing, which you have to when
if
you read
not,
the first
yeah,
book.
If yeah, exactly. Yeah.
She is nothing.
She's an empty
All
shell.
All she is this character that falls in love. And she doesn't even really fall in love. She becomes obsessed.
Yeah.
It's not even really an infatuation.
But not even for good reasons.
For no good reason.
Other than he's apparently hot or something, but he's greasy, but whatever.
Right. She is nothing. She accepts his abuse. She accepts the danger aspect. She wants to die because...
Let's go through this.
Be with him forever. There are so many... Ugh.
Let's go through this chronologically. So the first experience she has with Edward, he makes, like, vomity faces at her.
Right.
And gives her the cold shoulder and doesn't want to even talk to her and basically treats her like shit.
Yes.
You know, sort of like how somebody who doesn't really like somebody or thinks they're ugly might do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's the first thing. The next few things that he does is they do talk, and they have really awkward conversations about the weather. But then he proceeds to tell her that they, at some point shortly after that, that they shouldn't be friends because it's not right. But yet he keeps talking to her. And then at some point we learn that the first time he saw her, he wanted to basically kill her.
Mm-hmm.
That's romantic. That's the big mm-hmm. reveal, by the way, is when she finds out he's a vampire and he's like, oh, the first time I saw you, I wanted to rip your throat out. It's like, oh, well, that's romantic. And she's like, but I love you and I trust you. It's like,
but I love you.
You know, and he goes through these, all of these things of like, he explains how he feels when he's around her and how much he like craves her blood and all of this creepy stuff.
And then there's the possessive aspect of it, which is really fascinating.
He follows her around.
Right. He literally stalks her. It's not like some sort of romantic, he follows her to make sure she's okay. No, he's a freaking stalker.
Well, he does follow her to make sure she's okay, but he's being stalked. He says
no.
He does it for protection, and in fact, in the movie, it makes sense because she gets accosted by a bunch of drunk guys, and he
saves her. Oh my god, which was one of the dumbest, most contrived scenes possible.
I know, but his rationale is, I'm protecting you. That's still creepy stalkerish behavior.
Exactly. Well, and it's more that he's putting this on her. I mean, the whole fragility aspect is not something that seems necessarily inborn in her character. It is something that is projected onto her character.
Although she is really fragile and dumb because she wanders through a town she doesn't know and she goes to the wrong direction. Like, I don't really understand how
she's lost. Her dad's a sheriff and she doesn't even pull out a pepper spray that she supposedly is holding the whole time. Yeah.
Right. Fabulous. And she's an idiot.
Ugh. Anyway, so yes, that's one of my dislikes, and we could go on about this, but we're not going to because it's just going to piss me off. I've had so many rants about this to so many people who just don't get it, and I'm sorry. I mean, it's like I've taught my children to hate this book.
Good.
On purpose.
Can I just mention that Edward, the character, has on his face the "Do not date me because I will beat and rape you" face all the time.
All the time.
All the time. That's just his natural face.
I think what pisses me off the most is that it makes the general assumption that old, you know, like romance novels used to make, and they still make them, that every woman has a rape fantasy, which is so freaking demeaning, it's not even funny.
I don't even have a rape fantasy. That's weird.
It's so core to Edward's character and their relationship that I mean, and that doesn't even, like, begin to touch the surface of what I, you know, all the things that I hate about this series and what it's teaching women and what it's showing teenage girls is okay. I mean, somebody called it abstinence porn, which is so spot on. Like, somehow that, you know, the porn abstinence is so sexy. And
but notice that it's only the male who abstains.
Oh, yeah. No,
because
the girl doesn't want to abstain.
The woman is a creepy seductress because she wants
she
him to bite her.
Obviously a whore.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
He's stronger than that.
Right. Because he's got the moral framework.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But, you know, that's not reductive of women at all. That doesn't make them look like whores by nature.
I suppose this should have been my last dislike because it's probably my biggest, but it's not quite.
Well, we've been at it for a while. So can we move on to a like now?
Yes, we can.
Since that was actually my dislike, too, so.
Okay.
Was it actually related to it? My next like, which is, I think, my fourth. Is that my fourth?
Yeah, we're on our fourth.
Are we? Oh, yeah. And I've said this before about other books, or other things we've read actually about a book, Model Line, specifically. This is really a guide for how not to be a parent. Because
it really is. Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't get at what point this becomes normal parenting behavior. Her mother and stepdad ditch her, so her stepdad can go play minor league baseball. And they're like, well, no, I'm sorry. You can quit minor league baseball. That dream's over.
She goes back to live with a father who she hasn't lived with in years upon years.
He's kind of a deadbeat dad. He's a nice guy, but he has no idea how to be a father.
He has no idea how to be a father. And it really isn't his fault. It's actually her mother's fault, which is, I think, hilarious because, again, it points to moms are the worst possible. Women are crap.
Inferior.
inferior. And because the mother is the one who left the father. The father had no choice in the matter. She was flighty. She didn't care. She does take the daughter with her, but she leads the daughter on a life that is unstable. And, you know, she meets a guy who leads to further instability.
Yes, and the irony is she can't even wait until her daughter's 18, which would be one more year before she does this. You know, when her daughter would presumably be at college.
She couldn't just send her husband out to, like, you know, go do his minor league baseball thing until her daughter was old enough to, like, move out and go to college? No.
Or here's a thought. How about he just not play minor league baseball because he's too old and he's not going to be a major league player and he should just give it up and actually do what normal people do, which is get a job.
Well, theoretically, that would also be a possibility, but...
Unless she's dating a really young guy.
At the very least, the mother could have been a mother and made sacrifices for her child.
Sure. And of course, the
moms
dad is not.
All the time.
The dad's not any better in all of this. Just to be honest, well, like he has no burglar alarms. He's a sheriff. He has no burglar alarms. He doesn't.
He's living in a town of 350
Shut
people.
Up! Shut up! Don't ruin this.
Okay, go ahead.
Don't make me play patriarchy here. I'll make you be quiet. okay. He has no burglar alarms. Which I guess you could maybe give him credit for because he lives in a small town.
Right.
But he also has the worst ears in history. He can't tell that there's some guy in his daughter's room, let alone that they're having a talk through a very thin door.
Well, dad is obviously gone.
Or that. It's
that's
just
happening.
It seems really weird that he would not be aware of these things.
I think he's one of those blissfully ignorant people.
Okay, if so, then he's still a terrible parent, and this is a great guide for how not to be a parent and how not to raise your children.
It really is. I will totally, totally agree with that.
Yeah, and she totally should have dated the cute guy from her college that asked her out on prom.
He's not that cute.
Well, he's all right. I mean, he's a young guy, so whatever. But she should have dated him because he was a nicer guy than Edward.
Basically, anybody's a nicer guy than Edward, but that's
your next like.
My next like is Jasper's pained expression.
Barely remember Jasper.
Okay,
he's
Jasper,
like the newly converted vegetarian.
Newly converted vegetarian who is dating Alice, who, granted, I kind of like Alice, but only because she's, if anything, the most interesting vampire of the bunch. Aside from Jasper, who's this newly, you know, changed vampire, newly converted to vegetarianism. And he literally looks like, oh my God, this is the most painful experience I've ever lived through in my entire life. Now, the question is, and the thing that I like most about that pained expression is it because he's acting out a character who is having a really hard time resisting murdering everyone around him? Or because the actor himself was having a really hard time resisting murdering everyone around him, seeing as how he was forced to act in one of the worst movies of all time.
You don't think anybody is in this movie voluntarily?
No.
Everybody has, they owe the director a debt or something.
She's
he has
blackmailing all of them. Seriously, it is one of the best expressions, and he keeps it up through most of the film, which is fabulous. It was brilliant. Loved it. Did you know he's the guy who was in Avatar?
Which guy?
He was the main character in Avatar, not the Avatar, but the other guy.
Sokka. Oh, Sokka. Oh, really?
Yes, I found that out today, and I thought it was slightly hilarious because I was just so amused by Jasper's pained expression. I was like, I wonder what this guy is. Anyway, I like that.
That's good. That's good. Shall we put on an acting lesson before we get too far?
Why don't we?
Cool.
Vampire Romance 101.
You read the explanation dialogue. I'll be Edward.
All right. Bella discovers Edward in the same random town as herself, a town which everyone else goes to because in the Twilight universe, there's literally nothing to do in the forest, even though clearly they're near enough to the Oregon border where one might find Portland. In a fit of anger, she confronts...
Fake anger. Fake anger. Don't
fake
ruin my...
anger. She confronts Edward. Romanticness ensues. Are you following me?
Yep. No. Would you change the dialogue, you asshole?
No, I didn't. Not that much. Says what? Are you following me?
Okay. I wouldn't call it following, per se. That depends on the definition.
Right. You're stalking me.
No, I'd call it protecting. Stalking is what creepy people do.
So why are you protecting me?
Because there's nothing in your head. I mean, I can read everyone else's minds, and they're thinking about cats and sex and money and ways to prevent Mitt Romney from becoming president. But in your head, there's just nothing. I find that intriguing.
I love you, Edward Cullen.
You really shouldn't be around me.
But I want to be.
I know, but you see, you're empty. And the first time I met you, I wanted to slit your throat and kill you in the street.
That's the most romantic thing anyone has ever said to me.
I want to put lotion all over you and skin you so I can wear you like an overcoat to hide my emo-ness.
Marry me. I can't stand to be away from you. You'd never hurt me. I know it. I can make you better, like in a Lifetime movie or whatever.
The men never get better in those movies.
Still, you're a fixer-upper. You're worth the first 4 years of brutal beatings.
Does your father know you think like this?
You'd think my father is sheriff or something, like he's even around.
You realize I'm probably going to kill you or infect you one day, right?
Probably, but we'll have babies first, so it's okay.
Wait, what?
Babies, like four of them. Cletus, Martha, George, and Peggy Sue.
You've already picked names?
Of course, silly face.
This is really starting to creep me out.
We'll be together forever, you and I. Forever and ever and ever.
Look, I gotta go.
And ever. It'll all be okay.
I'm feeling sick. I think I have leprosy.
Edward leaves. Belle waits for 85 years before she dies a slow, terrible death, befitting someone with no self-esteem, morals, or brains. She's buried in an unmarked grave somewhere in the middle of the woods. The end.
I like how you played that without any emotion whatsoever, and I'm the only one who put any heart into this.
I'm sorry, it seemed appropriate.
I was going to try to do a Robert Patterson, like, impression, but then I realized I can't be that depressing.
He's really depressing, isn't he?
Yeah. So that's our little acting.
That's our skit. Yay!
Yay! Yay! Okay, so we're on, what, like, fourth dislike now?
Fourth dislike.
No, we're not. We're on fifth dislike.
No, we're on our fourth dislike.
I've gone over everything. Math fail, women, acting, and Taylor Hotner. And I've only got one left.
Oh, well, then I missed one, because I've only gone through one, two, three of mine.
Okay, well, give me your fourth, and then we'll go back to likes and get the
sparkling last one. Fucking vampires!
The end.
Thank you. I'm done.
Yeah, I didn't put that in there because I thought that was easy.
Yeah, it might be easy, but it is by far one of the most horrible things about this movie. And this
They're like diamonds.
And the book.
They're like diamonds.
That whole scene made me want to kill myself. You know, this movie actually wouldn't be so awful if it weren't for the scene in which he reveals that he's a sparkling fucking vampire.
The thing I don't understand is, like, well, couldn't you put makeup on? To, like, cover it up?
One would assume. Just go get a spray tan, you jackass.
Are they so pale that they sparkle? Is that what happens when you start becoming transparent?
Yeah, I guess so. Don't tell the albinos that. They might start getting a big head.
The Model Land. Oh my god. Fucking Model Land.
Okay.
Okay, so fifth like.
Fifth like.
You go first.
I'm going with my fifth like is the baseball game. Most epic baseball game ever.
That's actually kind of a cool baseball game. I like that.
It totally is. I mean, the fact that they have to play during a thunderstorm because it's big old cracks when they hit the ball and they, like, jump all over the place to catch it. Although the actual, like, jumping around was really lame. I hated the wire work that they did in this film. It's some of the worst wire work I've ever seen.
They go for, like, miles, even though it's clear, like, you can't jump like that. Like, gravity would take you down eventually.
It was bad. But anyway, I did enjoy the baseball game. I think that scene showed a little bit more of the characters of each of the characters more than most of the film. So
cool.
I liked it. It wasn't horrible. It did not piss me off.
Okay. I might have included that in my likes, but I didn't.
Okay, what was your last like?
The deer in the beginning. But let me explain why.
All right.
Because it got me thinking about how they actually managed to get video of this deer running. Because it's clearly in a real forest, and it's a real deer. It's not CG. So I was trying to imagine the logistics of this. Like, how did they, like, did they, like, hire deer whisperers or something to, like,
no,
talk to the deer?
No, it was two people with sticks walking behind them. Quack, 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 quack.
Well, thanks for ruining that.
I have no idea. I'm totally joking.
I just didn't know how they did it. I wanted to know how they got this deer to run exactly the way they wanted.
Seriously, your last like? I mean, that's like the most you could muster?
It's in the beginning.
Okay, granted, that's not that hard to muster. As an old...
It's the only moment that warranted thought in the whole movie. Because I seriously want to know, how did they do it? Did they have 100 deer that they just off? And
yeah, maybe they did, and they filmed all of them, and they just took the one that actually ran.
The right way, yeah.
Yeah. I almost put the cars as one of my likes.
Because they did have some cool cars.
Yeah, some pretty spiffy little cars, just saying.
It was pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty.
So... And the house was cool. I liked their house. I did.
It's actually kind of a cool house, yeah. I'll give you that.
Although the fact that he didn't have a bed, lame. I mean, seriously, I get that you don't sleep, but don't you occasionally just want to lie freaking down and read a book?
No,
you don't,
they don't have blood circulation.
To do that.
They hang out in trees. He's a monkey.
I suppose. And read books in trees. That just seems uncomfortable.
It is. Well, I mean, if you paid attention to this guy, he's the most uncomfortable guy in the universe. Like, just being around him.
What uncomfort is, because that would mean he'd have to display some sort of emotion.
Well, he wasn't, like, alive in, like, 1908, and he was almost dying of the flu, so...
Like, 1912.
Whatever.
Come on.
Does it really matter the date? This movie is dumb. Do I have to get the date that...
No, not really.
Go to hell.
I think the most interesting, actually, scene in the entire film was when they're discussing science. The teacher was probably the best actor.
Whoever figures out the different phases gets the golden onion. Like, what the hell? What kind of prize is that? Like, why not, like, you know, a bar of chocolate?
It's a town of 315 people. That's
they don't have chocolate?
Exciting thing. No, of course not. Chocolate's too far away. You have to drive too far to get chocolate.
They just eat mushrooms and roots and grubs. It's all they can manage. I also really found it really annoying, the, like, vegetarian stuff in this, like, where she wouldn't eat meat, and didn't understand why.
Coincidentally, he's also a vegetarian.
But he's not really. He's a vegetarian only in terms of blood, because he eats animal blood. But he doesn't drink plant blood.
So,
plants don't have
really,
blood.
She should hate him for killing animals.
I just didn't get it. Like, what was the whole point of this?
He should be Manicula, and then it would be okay. If Manicula were sparkly.
Oh, God.
Let's reimagine Manicula. Sparkly.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Oh, can we go to our dislikes and get
yes,
this over
with?
Yes,
let's go to our last dislike.
Your last dislike is what?
I think I've expressed this in the past, and it brings me great, great shame to admit it. But the thing I hate most about Twilight is that I want to like it.
That's my least dislike. What? This is amazing.
I have this sick desire to, like, watch it and to enjoy the romance that totally doesn't there. Because it's not there. It should be there. You're like, come on. Just give me something meaty to sink my teeth into. But it doesn't. It's not there.
We should rewrite this movie and direct our own version.
Well, see, this is the problem. When you're basing it on a book that is as weak as the film. I mean, it's not like the film is any better than the book. There's just nothing to go off of.
Yeah, it's really...
I think the thing that makes me want to like this movie is the fact that it's just, it's a vampire romance. And there are other vampire romances that I love. I mean, I love True Blood. Love True Blood. Obviously, I have Sookie Stackhouse series. I know you hate it, but... And then there's the Laurel K. Hamilton series, which is one of the most porn-ridden...
Guilty pleasures.
Yeah, exactly. It's porn. It's basically just porn, but it's couched in an urban fantasy series. But Anne Rice. I mean, God, Anne Rice. Some of the sexiest books ever written.
And then you get this.
And then you get this.
But I agree with you. My last dislike is the same thing as that. This movie made me wish that I could like it. And the longer I watched, the more I hoped it would make me love it. But I couldn't.
Exactly.
Nothing I could do.
On Team Jacob because, A, I find Taylor Lautner more attractive than I do Robert Pattinson.
That's why I call him Taylor Hautner.
Well, exactly. But at the same time, I feel kind of creepy for liking Taylor Lautner at all because I'm like 34 years old and Taylor Lautner was in that Shark Boy versus Lava Girl and Lava Girl movie when he was like 6 or something. And I watched that movie when my girls were like 2. So not that long ago when it comes right down to it.
So feel a little bit creepy. You're like Edward.
Exactly. It makes me feel a little bit dirty.
Oh my God, you're hilarious.
But it's there. You know, it's like, God, it should be. I mean, it. Like I said, you know what? That Laurel K. Hamilton book that I just cited, that series, actually has a woman that's torn between a vampire and a werewolf. But it's done in a sexy, passionate... God, you want to let her choose both, and she actually ends up in this weird, like, sex triad with the two of them. But whatever.
Menage a trois.
Exactly. It works for Laurel K. Hamilton. Stephanie Meyer manages to actually suck all the emotion out of all of her characters.
No pun intended.
No, none whatsoever. Well, maybe just a little bit.
Yeah, no, she's pretty bad. I mean, this movie is really just a 2-hour psychological version of domestic abuse.
Oh, yeah, basically.
I mean, you feel like you're being beaten while you're watching this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would know. I've been in abusive relationships. Not really.
And I won't even get into the whole fact that she's a freaking... I'm not going to say it.
I know where you're going with this. You're angry.
The moral code... that is behind this film. I'm sorry, I have a piece of ice in my mouth, so I don't really make any sense right now. The moral code that she's trying to push upon people who read these books.
Well, it doesn't make any sense for one.
A, it doesn't really make much sense, but B, the parts that do make sense are sickening.
Mm-hmm.
And disturbing. And...
bad.
Put... women's rights back about, I'm going with 200 years.
At least.
At the very least.
Yeah. You should be subservient to your man. I mean, that's essentially the lesson here is, it's
but
perfectly
beyond that,
okay
it's not
to
even
be subservient.
It's beyond subservience. It's like Gorian level subservience.
Right. You must be a slave to your man and you must be obsessed with him.
Mm-hmm.
And
you
your life
be
must
nothing beyond
man.
The man. Exactly.
Right, exactly. And she effectively is. I mean, she wants to give up even her own life for him in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Which would seem very romantic if she was actually giving up her life for him, as in, like, a sacrifice that she needed to make to save him.
Exactly.
But no, she just wants it so she can be with him forever.
This is the first vampire series that I've read in a while that actually harkens back to Dracula.
This is
actually one of the most misogynistic books ever.
But Dracula was so much better.
Right, exactly. Dracula is actually better because it almost subverts those stereotypes of misogynism and subversiveness, only because you can actually look at it and go, oh,
well,
that's wrong.
Well, he's seducing them in, like, this weird, creepy way.
Yeah, well, right. But they still have personalities, at least. This is a character that has no personality from the beginning. She has nothing. She is nothing beyond a name. Beautiful Swan. I mean, seriously. That's literally... And they're trying to play her off, like, her biggest weakness is clumsiness? Oh, the poor fucking baby. I'm so sorry.
I remember that he like yells at her, watch where you're walking.
Ugh. It's pitiful. It's beyond pitiful.
Well, her weaknesses, like the ones that they announce, are she can't dance. She's clumsy.
It's basically just clumsiness. That's why she can't dance. But she has the most superficial weakness, fault.
Acknowledged
that
fault.
It amazes me that anyone, any teenage female, can identify with this character. Because her weakness is so non-existent. I'm sorry, if like your biggest fault is that you're freaking clumsy, you don't have problems.
No, you really don't.
Especially
not if you're clumsy, as this movie makes it seem.
It's absurd, and it makes me feel sorry for girls that are reading.
She's not really clumsy, because remember, like, if she was clumsy, she would have fallen out of the tree. And this movie could have ended, like, an hour and a half before.
I know, right? And it would have been awesome. Yay!
She would have fallen out of the tree, and we'd be done with this. Oh.
I suppose. Okay, so that was my last, and...
Yeah, mine, I mean, it's the same thing.
There are so many things to dislike about this movie, and I think we kind of wrapped them up with it. It's really, it comes down to the moral code that the societal stereotypes and structure that Stephenie Meyer wrote into her book and was totally translated into the movie. And then beyond that, it just ended up being a bad film. I mean, the story is bad enough. The premise is bad enough. But when you, like, throw in bad acting, horrible lines, script, it just ends up as my brain oozed out of both my ears and my nose for the full 2 hours that I had the misfortune of watching it.
Anyway, I'm sorry, but I hate this movie.
Yes.
Can we just give our scores and get this over with and be done?
F.
It's an F.
I'm not even thinking about it. It's been a while since we've given anything just a straight freaking F, but this is such an F. Because this movie just pisses me off. Pisses me off.
Well, but Jen, what? You should just be like the Duggars. Now, your only purpose in life is reproduction.
Oh,
obviously.
God.
You know, you just need to bend over and just get with the baby making. What are you doing?
I did that twice, and it was painful. And
well, but you've got it. Your only purpose is to be constantly pregnant.
I need to do it for about 20 bazillion more, and then I'll be an acceptable woman, and my husband should be able to say, do this, do that, do this, do that, and I should go, oh yes, dear.
Even
and
while
done,
you're 9 months pregnant.
Beat me? Please beat me.
Well, I don't know if there's any beating in the Duggar's house, but there's certainly, you know, you're.
Well, there is in the freaking Bella Edward house.
Well, certainly.
Actually, I'm not sure if there... Well, there is, actually. I mean, that's one of the most disturbing things about New Moon, is that their final sexual encounter, which a whole bunch of people were pissed off about, by the way, which I think is hilarious. This being abstinence porn, you can't actually have the characters have sex. When they finally do have sex, nobody was pissed off about the fact that he freaking rapes her and she enjoys it. The only thing that pissed them off was the fact that they had sex.
Okay, well, we'll have to save that in case people select that as.
Oh my god, do not select any of the other movies, please!
Guess what's gonna be in the next poll?
I hate you all!
Okay, all right. Well, we both gave it an F, so our average is an F. So if you want to suggest a movie that you want us to watch, a bad science fiction, fantasy, horror, supernatural horror specifically, you can easily do that in a number of ways. You can send us an email.
SkippyandFanty@gmail.com.
Blog posty thingy comment.
SkippyandFanty.wordpress.com.
Yep. Or you can send us an email. We already did that one. Twitter.
Anti@gmail.com/SkippyandFanty.
or Google Plus.
Shawnee Jen.
Yep. You can suggest any movie you would like, and we'll put it on our list, and we'll keep updating. We'll have a new poll up, all of that good stuff. You can
I
also
swear
suggest
to God,
books.
If you bastards suggest the second Twilight movie, I will hunt you down and tear your eyes out.
It's already on the list.
Duke?
It's going in. It's going
in. Hunt you down and tear your eyes out.
It's going in the next poll.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Okay, well, anyway, so that's pretty much that.
Yeah, that's that. Thank God next week will be so much more improved when we interview.
Who are we
interviewing?
James Sutter.
James Sutter. We are interviewing James Sutter and talking about his fantastic book, Death's Heretic.
Yep. And I will save this bottle of rum for the next time.
I think that's a good idea.
Because I drank half this bottle. That's a lot of rum.
That is a lot of rum. Good night, everybody.
Yep.
And please, God, never watch Twilight.
Yeah, don't do it. It's bad for your health. It causes cancer.
I'm pretty sure God would kill everyone on Earth if he did watch this movie.
It'd be the next flood.
Exactly.
All right, guys.
All right, peeps.
Bye-bye.
Later.
Our new intro music is Time Flux by Revolution Void. You can check them out at freemusicarchive.org.
You're just another weak human afraid to face death.
I fart in your general direction!
France, different planet.
The Force will be with you. Always.
End of line.